takes time for this little thing to warm up. So we'll start with the announcements first. We meet here in Philadelphia twice a week, on Sundays, as today, and on Wednesdays. Now on Sundays, the doors open at 10:30, and the class and discussion starts promptly from 11 and lasts till 12 noon. Also, on Sundays, we need to go over what we're in the March system now. And the main discussion title is The Mysteries of the Mind. And we, as we are today, we're on the second lecture of this, and it's The Genius Within. We always have either a lecture, a panel, or a short talk, but there's always ample time for questions and answers. And next Sunday, we will be doing instinct and intuition, two inner guides. This is very interesting subject matter. Then on Wednesdays, we open at 7, our classes are from 7:30 to 8:30. The building does open at 5:15 to 7:15 in the reference library, which is always interesting because there's usually a reference for that class that evening that you might want to have a chance to glance at and take notes on, because it's usually in connection with the actual class. And we're starting on chapter 14, and it's dealing with, as we are in these after-death states, it can communication be available? Is it possible? So that's the subject matter for them. Then, other than that, coming up, we will be having William Q. Judge Day on March 21st. That is sort of like a dedication to William Q. Judge. And there will be readings from the philosophy of his choice, and also there will be a talk on philosopher, guide, and friend. So that gives us that information as far as all the classes. And the other thing is, the ULT, whether it be here or at any of the lodges situated around the world, is all done on a voluntary contribution of time and service and money. So this declaration we will read quickly so you can get an idea of what it's all about. The policy of this lodge is independent devotion to the cause of theosophy without professing any attachment to any theosophical organization. It is loyal to the great founders of the theosophical movement, but does not concern itself with dissensions or differences of individual opinion. The work it has on hand and the end it keeps in view are too absorbing and too lofty to leave at the time or inclination to take part in side issues. That work and that end is the dissemination of the fundamental principles of the philosophy of theosophy and the exemplification in practice of those principles through a truer realization of the self, a profounder conviction of universal brotherhood. It holds that the unassailable basis for union among theosophists, wherever and however situated, is similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching, and therefore has neither a constitution, bylaws, nor officers. The sole bond between its associates being that basis, and it aims to disseminate this idea among theosophists in the furtherance of unity. It regards as a theosophist all who are engaged in the true service of humanity without distinction of race, creed, sex, condition, or organization. And it welcomes to its association all those who are in accord with its declared purposes and who desires to fit themselves by study and otherwise to be the better able to help and teach others. The true theosophist belongs to no cult or sect, yet belongs to each and all. So now our session that's coming up today, The Genius Within Us. We will have a short talk, and then there will be ample times for comments, questions, and answers.
Certainly, when we hear, when the average Jane or John Doe hears the word genius, they relate to names like Einstein, Mozart, perhaps Da Vinci. So how did these people and others like them become what is considered genius? This is a question of much debate over the years. Were they born that way? Maybe genius runs in the family. Is your spouse a genius because they figured out what happened to the missing socks? Could it be that this is a special talent that was gifted by God? Is it indeed a gift of heaven? And if so, why such gifts to one and dullness of intellect or even idiocy to others? Or could it be the product of sheer personal work, effort, great tenacity? Perhaps the manifestation of genius is just a phenomenal accident, a prize of blind chance. If you believe one of these reasons I've just given, there's no great mystery to you at all. But one might ask, why are you in this room? Perhaps you are probably thinking, maybe, just maybe, the reason for genius is something altogether different. But before we investigate further, let's take a look at a modern prevailing definition of genius. A genius is described as a person of great intelligence who shows an exceptional capacity of intellect, especially as shown in creative and original work. Geniuses exhibit strong individuality and imagination and are not only intelligent, but unique and innovative. They typically have an intelligent quotient exceeding 140, and some of them can't navigate the daily tasks of life without instructions and support from others. A riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma. Thanks to Winston Churchill, we have a statement that perfectly describes the way most people think about the origin of genius. Of course, there are those, including top scientific and medical researchers, that when asked will tell you that genius is simply a human trait passed down from one generation to another. Some say that there are generations that are skipped along the way. There's a professor in Florida that says that anyone that gives 10,000 hours of practice, that's about 40 hours a week for 5 years, will become a genius in their chosen field. But for the most part, the widely believed and the typical response is that heredity is the answer to the origin of genius. No theosophist denies that heredity does have a role in the way you look, with your mother's cute little turned up nose, or perhaps your father's eyes and voice. Let's not forget that heredity does give us a physical brain and body. And of course, we certainly need both to exhibit our genius and also to complete our human experience. A musician needs his instrument. A painter needs his canvas. This is explained in the first fundamental principle in the Secret Doctrine. It is only through a vehicle of matter that consciousness wells up as I am I, a physical basis being necessary to focus a ray of the universal mind at a certain stage of complexity. Normally, humans like you and I express a fairly wide range of talents. For most of us, the tendencies, capacities, and sympathies tend to be fairly average when compared to that of a genius. All geniuses appear different to us because of their amazing ability to focus tirelessly on specific tasks. Yet paradoxically, some can't even tie their shoes. William Judge wrote that the explanation for geniuses can only be met by the law of rebirth, reincarnation. The flame of genius isn't lit by an anthropomorphic God's hand, save that of one's own spirit. It is the very nature of the spiritual entity itself. It is our ego, our absolute individuality, which keeps on interweaving new life experiences into our individual web of reincarnation on the loom of time. The egos of a Newton, a Tesla, or a Shakespeare are of the same essence and substance as the egos of an ignoramus, a fool, or an idiot. No ego differs from another ego in its primal or original essence and nature. That which makes one mortal a great man and another a vulgar, silly person is the quality and makeup of the physical shell or casing and the adequacy or inadequacy of brain and body to transmit and give expression to the light of the real man, the inner man, and the aptness or ineptness, in its turn, the result of karma. Or to use another simile, physical man is the musical instrument, and the ego, the performing artist. The potentiality of perfect melody of sound is in the former, the instrument, and no skill of the latter, the artist, can awaken the faultless harmony out of a broken or badly made instrument. This harmony depends on the fidelity of transmission by word or act to the objective plane. Physical man may, to follow our simile, be a priceless Stradivarius or a cheap and cracked fiddle, or again, a mediocrity between the two. Genius is living proof of the preexistence of a spiritual thread soul. The power of the soul's innumerable life experiences, focused like the sun through a magnifying glass, greatly increases its force. Every time, in every rebirth, we get reconnected to our very own self-constructed, pre-existing, personal, and collective karmic web. The lessons of this web are our opportunities, steps leading to our growing self-awareness and enlightenment. It is the very nature of the spiritual entity itself that asserts itself stronger than in the average man through its personality, so that what we call the manifestations of genius in a person are only the more or less successful efforts of that ego to assert itself on the outward plane of its objective form, the man of clay, in the matter-of-fact daily life of the latter. Great genius is true and innate, Blavatsky wrote, and not merely an abnormal expansion of our human intellect. Can never copy or condensate to imitate, but will ever the original sui generis in its creative impulses and realizations. There is no divine hand from the heaven creating geniuses. There are no accidentally created geniuses, and you didn't get your genius from your parents. The presence in man of various creative powers called genius in their collection is due to no blind chance, to no innate qualities through hereditary tendencies, but to an accumulation of individual antecedent experiences of the ego in its preceding life and lives. You, dear heart, are the origin of genius. Within you is the genius. The manifestation of genius in a man or woman, as William Q. Judd said, provides an immortal ego and reincarnation in our world. Once again, the topic for today is the genius within.
Thank you. So that can be a fascinating beginning of thinking. And we were thinking, when we looked it up in the dictionary, of the different ways that we could explain the idea of what a genius is. We started to note that, yes, it's a natural capacity, but it's usually only in one field. Like, we can think of scientists, people in the arts, people of music, etc. We're talking about talent. It's that special ability in a particular field. And that can maybe have us start to think. The idea, it's in a particular field, not all around. Some you can call the nutty professors, but they are brilliant with what they teach. So it's interesting to keep that in mind. There's really no real explanation from an outside world of thinking, unless we think on the idea that it's exceptional. Not everyone is. We use that comment often as, that person's a genius. And briefly, whatever he or she has helped make to come balanced, we take it for granted. So let's see what anyone in the audience might think or question. Yes?
We found the one quote from HPB in the talk, great genius, if true and innate, and not merely an abnormal expression of our human intellect, can never copy or condescend to imitate, but will ever be original, sui generis in its creative impulses and realizations. And what we found fascinating about that, in terms of its creative impulses and realizations, when we think about the word genius, you know, where does it come from, you know? And what we realize, like someone who's gracious, that ending, us, you know, well, they're expressing, they are a person who expresses grace. So a genius would be someone who expresses G-E-N. And what we realize is that the Sanskrit root of the word G-E-N, such as genius, the word genius, has the same root as nature. So it's someone, so she's basically saying, get yourself out of the way, get the human intellect out of the way, and basically let nature, will ever be original, sui generis in its creative impulses and realizations. So to be a true genius, it seems you'd have to be truly impersonal.
It would seem so. And also, the other point that you can say, in that one field that they're in, there's really nothing out there, or we can say beyond that, that this individual cannot express and understand. For the majority of us, we don't even understand how he got the idea, or she. Yes?
Well, two things. One, that there is a book called The Seven Types of Intelligence, or something like that. And every one of us is a kind of genius in one area or another. This person may not be brilliant intellectually, but they can enter a room and figure out how everything goes in the space. They have spatial intelligence.
Right.
So we shouldn't limit it, which we do. And the other is reincarnation. Karmically, we may feel within ourselves, I could be, and whatever it is, and I have that within me, but our karma is such that we never get an opportunity.
And that can make us understand, if we look at the idea of karma and reincarnation, when it comes to the idea of what a genius is, or what is a genius become, it would seem, as we said, in general, it's usually in an exact field. But the fact of the matter, if we think about it, anything that we really want to accomplish and really want to understand and do, we have to put a lot of energy, mind, quote, and soul, into it. So can we imagine that, with that in mind, it would take lifetimes of that type of energy to come in one life, be able to express it freely in that one area. Whether, as you said, whether it be an area of a knowledge of knowing how to straighten up something or a scientific discovery. Yeah.
Yes, you were talking about how much effort it is. And although we can't quote it exactly, Michelangelo said something like, people say I'm a genius and they want to be a genius. They wouldn't want to be if they knew how hard I have to work.
Well, think about it. You lay on your back on a plank high up in an enormous building And there's a lot of work and concentration that can be going, but look at the beauty that exists. So we can say this idea, if we look at it with the idea of the karma of any individual in any lifetime, it's like, you know, the bottle of water, the glass of water. There's just so much water you can put in the glass before it overflows. It's the same type of thing. There's just so many situations any one individual can in one lifetime be able to indulge in, understand, travel down that road type of a feeling. It doesn't happen overnight. Yes.
What we're hearing this morning is that man has really illimitable potential, and that the only thing that holds us back is ourselves. So it says in the Gita, he who findeth no doubt, I will make this known to thee. So if we doubt that we can do something, we can't do it. So chase away all doubt with spiritual knowledge.
Say that last part again.
Chase away all doubt through spiritual knowledge.
That's very general. For some, it's unquestionably, I don't get it. I don't understand it. What we're saying is we don't understand ourselves. We are not aware of the abilities, or shall we say, our back filing cabinet that we could indulge in and understand by going through it, because we're only looking at the quote now in front of us. So unless anyone wants to really understand themselves, they really need to start being a judge of how we think and act, because primarily it comes from our thinking. And if there is that hidden knowledge within, which it states it is, if you look at the idea of reincarnation, how many lifetimes have any individual that we quote call genius has worked in that area of some sort and put that energy out to understand it? We're like a big puzzlement ourselves. Yes.
Well, I think we said earlier that the impersonal attitude that must be adopted for this, and so that don't we have to come to understand that there's something, a witness to the drama of life, someplace that does not change, and begin from there and work outward.
Yes, I think we brought this up previously in a different discussion. There is the different states that we go through. There's our working everyday state, and then there's our dreaming state. Where is this coming from? Where is it that I can go through this state, go into this state, see what's in this state, and then return back to this waking state? So we do know there's something within us that really is an observer of everything about us, but we've maybe never really questioned it. Where is this coming from? Why do I remember certain dreams? Why do some people say, well, I might dream, but I just don't remember them? We're not going through the stages of progress with an open eye. We're just going. So there's a difference, that desire to want to know, to understand what and who we really are is not an easy job. We must know this. And it's for most people that take to certain ideas versus other ideas, where did they come up with that? Was it something from the outside? Was it something internally that they just knew this is not for me or this is for me? And how much effort have we put into it and willing to put into it?
I think it was Henry Ford, but if it wasn't, it was somebody really wise who said, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. So you've mentioned it several times. If we want something, even a sort of mundane knowledge about something, we have to make the effort and apply ourselves. So in order to awaken the genius within us, we have to awaken ourselves.
And for some, it can be very difficult. For others, it might be very easy. We're in that category of very difficult. So we understand the idea of keep trying. If you keep trying, eventually something's going to come of it. Yes, in the back.
The term free thinker would give us the idea that genius is an individual whose intellectual powers are free to expand in every direction that that person turns their mind to, or if, when I say free, not bound down by any restraints whatsoever. We don't say that that person is a criminal, but there have been instances where certain geniuses were so great, they weren't even bound by the normal ethical moral ideas held by others. So you have to be careful. Usually you categorize genius, but here we're trying to get an idea of what true genius as compared to intellectual categorizing.
Very much so. Very much so. And we should be very aware of it, especially now. Now that we live in a time, in this lifetime, where everything is almost instantaneously, we know something, we see something, we hear something. There's really no time to think or judge or boom, it's here, it's being done. There's where we have to stand straight and stand tall and take the time to think it through instead of just jumping in. Yes.
And you've heard the term evil genius.
Yes.
So we have to broaden our aspect, and the teachings give us some idea of what that means. And unattached is one. In other words, charity. Our teachings here give us those ideas to explain whom we truly are. And we have literature that we read all the time, and we would apply the term true genius to many of the books we read here in these rooms.
Hmm. And the other thing is that idea of being aware of what's going on around us while we're trying to understand something. Being aware, because that's when that power can come within an individual. You know, we can think about all the people that we're brought up with were just poor, miserable sinners, or that, you know, we can be drawn this way or that way, or it's this one time and this is it, either you make it or you don't. I mean, there's just so many things that are brought in to make us not want to try to search out, think out.
One thing that was said earlier by the previous contribution had to do with a true genius may actually, you know, rise above the laws of the land. And it kind of makes sense, you know, if we think of a true genius as, you know, a former of a society,
mm,
it makes sense. So, you know, the Christ stories where he was a reformer, Sankaracharya was a reformer, perhaps it even applies to Mr. Gandhi, we don't know, but maybe it does. So the reformer who seems to be breaking the laws of the land at the same time knows that his karma is to be either subject to the laws of the land or accept the consequences in his efforts to change it. So we wouldn't say a true genius, you know, comes and breaks the law because he doesn't agree with them, although he would, but for the right reasons, knowing there may be consequences, but I'm willing to accept it just to set the example.
And that, it would seem, we could say, takes a strong soul to do this, because we have so much coming from the outside. We have been brainwashed so many different ways that we sometimes wonder, do we really have an idea or a way of thinking of our own? Or is it something we've acted like a sponge, that we've read, that we've seen, that we've heard from the outside, and we're calling it ours, and yet we didn't put that much energy into any of it. So it's very interesting. Yes?
Well, the story of Paracelsus is an example of, we would consider him a genius in the fact that he discovered elements and so forth. But he was healing people. He was healing people with unorthodox means that wasn't within the medical establishment. So he created a lot of enemies because he was going against the way of society and the way of appropriating money and a way of treating people, charging them to make them well again. So you said that you must pay the consequences. Well, that's usually the kind of consequences that one faces, because you're going against the norms of the society, which causes us to limit our thinking. We think within this box, and we don't think outside of
the box.
And
that's something that each one has to come to on their own. Some of them can be very shy, and they'll sort of peek out of the box on certain things, but on other things, they're not coming out of that box. Fear. Fear can be a great mover backwards, and it can be forward. If you really think you can do something, no matter how difficult it looks around you, you've got to at least try to put some effort to test it. We need to become our own book cyclopedia. We need to express certain things to the point where we feel comfortable with it. We know it. We see the balance there. Instead of taking it from some book, some place from reading it, taking it from some place you've heard a talk on or a lecture on, we have to, in a way, get up off our rear ends and start searching. A lot of us just sit back and let it come in and just, I agree with that. That sounds feasible. And yet, did we test it ourselves? No. A genius, as we said, especially in the fields of science, this is a constant individual searching, always searching for that, how it can be done, and challenging it. Too many of us don't even bother with that. We're so busy with all that outside noise that comes in, we don't really know. And so we'll just go along with the crowd. Yes.
One of the things we don't really know is that we can change ourselves, our destiny, everything. It's all in our hands. And if you don't know that, if you think it's a one-life basis,
right,
you would only make the effort if you had such a strong desire to either understand or to make things different, if not for yourself, for others. And that's the thing I think we all have to remember. You don't have to believe in reincarnation. It's going to happen anyway. So all of these things, obstacles and what you hear and read and learn and don't act on, you're going to carry them with you, and they're going to push you off the cliff. So you will have to start doing something.
And let's be hopeful that we have some sort of parachute attached to us, because that's a long drop off that cliff. That's a lot to recamp, re-go over again.
Or we learn to fly.
Or we learn to fly, which would be beautiful, yes.
Well, certainly, you know, whether one believes in karma and reincarnation or not, I mean, it's going to happen whether you are open to it or not. But isn't it interesting, somehow, some way, whether or not there are those who believe in it, if they adhere to an ethical life, you know, and all of the religions of the world teach that something's going on after this body is done with, and the way you live your life while in the body affects you afterwards one way or the other, so there's still that ethic that is able to be inculcated, so to speak, even though the truth of the matter may not be understood.
And
all religions teach that.
Or could we also say the responsibility lies within us? There is that observer. If we take the time to just quiet everything, there is that observer that's been with us ever since, quote, we remember. Some remember further back. You remember when you were 3 years old, you did what? And other people say, well, yeah, why not? I'm lucky I remember yesterday. You know, it's that type of thing. We've just sort of left it all as an outside thing, whether we need to look at it as an inside thing. We are the choosers. We are the makers. We are the karmic ties to our past lives. And eventually, in some lifetime, everything can come out little by little, but we have to make that investigation, not outside, but within ourselves, within us inside, to let that true observer be able to express itself in any lifetime. And again, if anything is worthwhile, you have to put the work and the energy in it. It just doesn't happen like that. Yes?
An example of humanity's effort to preserve or continue that idea of genius in a family, we have the title called Family Tree.
The family.
And some of the family trees of some of our famous men, especially royal families, kings, and emperors, they show you how the genius of the most senior member of the family is passed down over many years, is now being expressed in maybe the fifth generation, because the way they marry, they pick people to marry into the family to continue that, at least
physical
resemblance.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work out that way, as you well know. So the idea here is that instruction and putting our children in the path of those individuals who have taught various ideas over years and years and years. So we may say that we ourselves sitting here presently,
right,
and we are following the lines laid down by HPB, those laid down by her seniors who gave it to her,
in that condition, yes. We have a few quotes that we wanted to bring up from either HPB or Mr. Judge. We thought it would be pointed at this part. The question came up, this was from a class. Why is it that so many people, the majority in fact, reject the idea of reincarnation? And it states largely from prejudice. The majority of people do not do their own thinking. We can honestly say that. But accept one or other of a various kinds of ideas formulated and held by others. Now, how many of us can honestly say, but I don't do that? We do. It's, in a way, it's easier to adopt someone else's ideas than to really put the energy out. Do I really believe in this? Do I really think this is possible? Yes?
Brief question. The reincarnation factor, is it like the chess game? All the pieces are on the board, but at the end of the game, the king, the queen, and the pawn go in the same box. Now, when they're placed back on the board, are they still king, queen, and pawn?
Since I'm not familiar with the game, I'm not quite sure how to answer that.
Well, it depends on how they behaved. In the light of Asia, the one who ruled as a king may come back a slave. Because of things done and undone. So it's up to us.
It is. And it's, you know, sometimes for some people that's a little scary. What do you mean it's up to us? Do you mean I, me? And we say right then and there, who is the I and the me that you're talking about? And 99% is the personality. This costume that we're wearing in this lifetime. And with this costume came clothing. Some of the clothing needs a lot of mending. The other clothing will make do. But the fact of it is, again, it's from the outside to the in. We need to go from the inside and come outside. And that takes work. And the idea that as many times as we slip and fall, if we've got the guts inside to keep trying, try it again. Yep.
We're also thinking that sometimes we're a genius for something that we don't want to be a genius in. For instance, I can lose something and not find it for years. So we have to use the intelligence we have to set up a better system of our own behavior so we get rid of that genius.
And again, you have to have a sort of sense of humor about it, because as we have done in this past lifetime, we make mistakes, but hopefully we can learn from them. And when we get back to this idea of this law of karma, it says, would we consider that the inherent law of karma rules all beings, that we reap as we have sown, that our birth and environment in this life is the result of previous lives on this planet. We cannot fail to see that our re-embodiment must be here, where we moved and worked before. So a lot of us are carrying a lot of baggage with us, a lot of baggage, yes.
So isn't it the genius of our time to realize that, what you have just read, and have a positive attitude, because what is coming to me is exactly what I need and what I wanted, and that it's all good. It's all good. I color my world. And we, after reading the Gita, we see that, you know, how can you be sattvic? How can you be sattvic? Well, have a positive attitude.
It is true, you know, and it's the idea that for most of us, can we honestly say, but I always color within the lines. Yes.
Could we have a reading that begins, the policy of this lodge is independent devotion.
Independent devotion to the cause.
Yeah, it's on the back of the deck.
Right, independent to the cause.
Could we have a reading of that? The policy of this lodge.
The first line.
It's the first line. Independent devotion to the cause of theosophy without professing any attachment to any theosophical organization. So the idea is independent devotion. Again, it's throwing it back on me, myself, I. That me, myself, I that is behind this costume. Yes.
But just as in anything, in school, in your own home as a child, growth is sometimes imitative. So it's independent devotion, but looking towards the devotion of those who've been at it longer. If you tried to do it alone, you would more likely fail. But in a group, you have each other and the energy of that. People forget, they don't value that.
And especially in today, I mean, people don't even talk to each other when they're out eating or relaxing or even walking around. They're too busy looking and punching and whatever they do. It's fortunate for some of us that we were here long before technology got to bloom.
That's a dangerous way to think karmically, because you're setting yourself up to be born in an age where you're just inundated and you'll be fascinated. So you have to accept that it's a normal thing, but people take it too far. So you stay in the middle. Don't go left or right.
Or just observe it and don't get involved. That's another way of looking at it, depending on for whose safety. If the world is spinning too fast, eventually you could get thrown off. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I thought you had a point. So, yeah, oh, you do have a point.
Well,
okay.
Well, thinking of the age in which we live, the other dangerous thing is ignorance.
True.
Now, even though what some people are doing on the internet and with their phones is really
unbelievable.
Not positive and not bringing us together. But we find that if we don't know what's going on or how it's going on, if there is a possible way for us to interact and help, we don't know, because it has become a form of communication. Just it's very superficial, but it's a form of
communication. Well, we used to have the Pony Express, you know. So I mean, we're going way back. Look how long it used to take to find out anything from the West Coast to the East Coast, and now, boom. So what advantage can we take of this period? Because when we know, yes, it is the Dark Age. It is the age, the Iron Age, shall we say, if we compare it to metals, the density of it. But the fact of the matter, it's of all the ages this planet has been through, it is the fastest and the shortest. So anything that we can gain from it, that we can put in our bag to keep, we should look for that. But to be aware of what's going on is very important. You just cannot close your eyes and ears to what's going on in the world today and how we feel individually about what's going on. Yes.
Well, what, 432,000 years is the
Kali Yuga. It's a
and,
long.
You know, if you do some kind of math, and, you know, 1,500 years per incarnation, and we're going to be in here quite a few times.
Yes.
So I think the idea of karma and reincarnation is the only hope we have.
To help us also, give us some answers that we haven't been able to find from the outside. Though that can be a basis for us getting some answers in the back.
Well, just that only 5,000 some years of that 432 has passed, and that was in 1897. It was 5,000 years since the death of Krishna. We have a lot of it ahead of us, but we're also told it's like a speed train.
Right.
So we can get more done in this cycle than we could possibly in the others. So it's like a call to work. If we want it, we have to work for it and use our genius of feeding the right desires, which keeps the will up, which helps us do it.
There's so much within us that we're not aware of because we really, maybe for some of us, not honestly looked. And with the information and from these teachings that are ancient teachings, they're not local, they're not something that just came up within a year or two. These are ancient teachings that we talk about, the ancient worlds, the ancient kingdoms. These are ancient, and what's so beautiful about it is they are still available in this age if we know where to go to search to find that leader. Yes.
Well, another term that we hear in these rooms, to form the nucleus of universal brotherhood. Well, right away that tells you that to form a nucleus, we're going to have a wide effect on those who cling to these teachings, study, participate, and so forth. We have on the back of the declaration some 20-some lodges of ULT in existence. Well, that nucleus must have been formed years ago.
Lifetimes.
So we have a problem thinking of terminology ourselves to explain that, but again, I refer to that declaration which explains the source of genius and how to use it.
And the fact that each one of us has had to have accumulated so much, and yet we have so much still waiting for us to either go through again, and primarily probably many times. For some people, it's very hard for them to learn, good or bad. We need to take that time and energy and reuse it, shall we say, from the past. Because if the ancients had it, and it was this long ago, and you look back historically, we too can fall into that same historical pattern if we put our minds to it. So for all our inner genius within us that we'd like to express, we need to start somewhere. And we need to start sometime. So it could be now, and it could be right where we're at. So the meeting is adjourned. This comes off. Come off. Off.